I think today is one of the most important classes on how to pray properly. Amazing class. So the rabbis tell us that there are 10 types of tefillah. Well, 10 types of praises of God, 10 types of songs. And one of them was we read on Pesach, Azishim Moshe. And each one of them corresponds to one of the Sefirot. Each kind of prayer expresses a different aspect of the soul. And each affects the cosmos, which is the universe, in a different way. However, there are three major ingredients in tefillah, and the fourth one is physical. Okay, so there's three spiritual ingredients or esoteric ingredients, and the fourth one is the highest, actually the lowest. Okay, so there's three high ones and then one low one. Okay, the highest level is Keter. Keter is the crown of the 10 Sefirot, and Keter is the wish of the person. The wish. So it's the underlying thoughts behind the primary thought.
Is that the same as
Ratzon? Yes. Ratzon is the wish or the will of the person. So a person's going to know what their will is. What is their bottom line? What is your bottom line? How do people operate? We don't, people don't realize what their bottom line is. They don't even think about what their bottom line is. In America, it's usually money. Bottom line is usually money. Make a buck. In God we trust. The mighty American dollar. Not so mighty, but American dollar. So what is the deepest wish of the person? That is the Keter. That is the Keter of the person. That's the highest aspect of their soul. And that is Ratzon or desire. It's your will or it's your desire. What is your deepest desire in life? That's a very... person's going to learn. That's the first thing person's going to think about. What is your deepest desire in life? What do you want? What do you want to achieve with your life? What are you trying to get close to in life? What are you trying to get close to in life? So desire is Keter. Chokhmah is the thoughts of a person. So we said behind the thoughts is the desire. Because the desire leads you to think in a certain line. Okay, for example, let me give you an example. This is Rabbi Dessler's example. Rabbi Dessler says, a person wants to play chess on Shabbat. Right? So what does he do? He doesn't know if it's allowed or not. So he opens up the Shulchan Aruch. They get a big volume of Shulchan Aruch, laws of Shabbat, looking to see where the chess is allowed on Shabbat. The rabbi walks in. And the rabbi says, wow, he says, I'm so proud of you. You're learning Torah on Shabbat. But what was the motivation behind it? It's not to learn Torah. It's not to get close to God. It's to know if I can play chess on Shabbat. By the way, can you or not? Very good. So what does it matter? So Ramah says, if the chess pieces make noise when you smack them down, and then that's making music on Shabbat. Now to play that's rabbinical music. That's why today I have velvet under the pieces, a little bit of velvet, a wooden piece, the other velvet underneath. Anyway, so. Imagine, so the motivation is the Keter of the person. You can't even see the Keter, right? How do you know what the motivation of the person is? Yeah, it's very hard to, only God knows the motivation of the person. And then, also, only God knows the thoughts of a person. It says even the angels don't know the thoughts of a person. The angel can't see beyond your speech. He can't tell you what's in your mind. He won't know. The angel doesn't know what's in your mind. That's amazing. Only Hashem knows what's in a person's mind. Only Hashem knows what the motivation of the person is. And that's why only Hashem knows if a person has a pure heart or not. And that's the highest level we're trying to reach, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 students. And he asked them, what is the best thing a person can achieve? What's the highest level? And the highest level is Lev Tov. A good heart, which is a good thoughts all the time. Pure thoughts. Good thoughts all the time. Not, I want to trick this person. What's in it for me? It's so hard. It's so hard to be pure. It's so hard to be pure. It's just... So that's the desire. The Keter is the highest level. The thoughts now are driven by the desires. What's your highest desire? Your thoughts are driven. So a person says, you know what, I want to get to Olam Va. That's my highest desire. And that's wrong, by the way. But let's take an example. Person says, I want to get to Olam Va. So now, how do I get there? So I got to learn Torah, do mitzvot. So he's thinking the lines of learning Torah, do mitzvot. But the purpose of Olam Ba is not to get close to Olam Ba. That's obviously that's very good, but to get closer to Hashem. And that is a very high level. The person's thought is to get closer to Hashem. It's a very high level, but it's a very hard level to get to. Why? Because you got to think in terms of the spiritual. And we don't even know what that means. We don't know what Hashem is. We have no idea. We know there's a mitzvah to love Hashem, there's a mitzvah to fear Hashem. But I want to cling to Hashem. So how do you cling to Hashem? The answer is you emulate His ways. By emulating His ways, we cling to Hashem. So, and by thinking about His ways and how just they are and how good they are and how kind He is, then we should cling to Him. It's like a person clinging to their parents. That's the analogy, right? You see little kids clinging to their parents. Why do they cling to their parents? And the answer is they feel security. They feel the love. And that's what we should feel. We should feel the same thing. We should feel that with Hashem we're secure. With Hashem there's love. With Hashem is our Father.
Everything. Your parents.
Everything you feel towards your parents.
Plus more.
Plus more. Exactly. So desire is number one. Desire is the highest level, which is the will of the person. What is the will of the person? What's motivating the person? The motivational thoughts of the person. What's motivating you? That's your highest level of your spiritual makeup. Right? The second level is your thoughts. Your thoughts normally follow your wishes and your desire and your intentions. So a person intends to play chess, you know, you've got to figure out a way to do it. So his thoughts are, how am I allowed to play chess or not? What should I do? Look it up in the Shulchan Aruch. And number three, so that's Chokhmah. See, if Keter is the will, the wishes, the Ratzon. Right? Chokhmah is the thoughts. And lastly, we have the emotions, Bina, emotions. Okay, so in that sequence, right, a person says, he doesn't even know what his will is. But it's by looking at the person's thoughts, you can tell what your will is. If your thoughts are good and pure and holy, and obviously your will behind it is something good as well. If a thought is a person's thinking about how to rob the bank, now obviously the will is not kosher behind it. But it's thinking, you know, where I'm going to have for lunch. Most people just think about, what's I'm going to have for dinner? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for breakfast? So what's the will behind it? The will behind it is to enjoy a bit of life. I wish it was that simple, you know. Ratzon. Resh, Sadi, Vav, Nun. Resh, Sadi, Vav, Nun. And then the emotion. Now this is where women are big. Women are very big on emotion. Right? Men are very big on Chokhmah. But women are very big on Bina, which is emotion. How do we know that? How do we know women are big on Bina? What does it say about creation? Vayiven Hashem et Asela. Hashem built. The word built is Vayiven, which is Bina. The root of the word Bina. Right? The root of the word Bina is Even. Or Bina. Or Vayiven. Even is interesting because Even is a Aven Ben. The link between the father and the son is the mother. She's the link. Even. So woman is Bina. And a woman has Bina Yetira, extra Bina, intuition, which is fed from the emotional side. So there's Keter, which is the will behind the person, and then there's the thoughts, and then there's the emotions.
Some women have...
Be very careful what you say now.
I'm looking at the women especially in a way that when I was growing up, I was blessed to have women that in my life that had Bina and Keter.
Okay, but they also have Chokhmah. Everyone has.
What's the knowledge base?
Everyone has. Knowledge is thoughts. What your thoughts are. Your thoughts. So there's the will, and then there's the thoughts, and then there's the emotion. So some thoughts are based on rational, which is usually that's the case. And some thoughts are based on emotions. Right? So, for example, love is emotional. So now a person has, what should I buy my wife? Right? That thought is based on the Bina. It's based on the emotional. Or he says, you know, I don't love my wife emotionally, but I owe her so much. That's love based on Chokhmah. There's love based on emotion, and there's love based on intellect. So that's high level love, by the way. Chokhmah is a high level. Suppose says, you know what, intellectually I love my wife. Why? Because there's a meeting of the minds. How do we know? Vayeda Adam et Chava Ishto. Adam knew his wife. There's a meeting of the minds. So today is meeting of the bodies, but there's no meeting of the minds. That's a big problem. Why? Everything falls apart. Right? Mm-hmm. They're great in bed, but they can't interact with each other. They just have no, there's no commonality.
Right? Well, that changes a little bit because the more you marry, the less with the stripping there is and the more the meeting of the
yes, mind. Exactly. 100%. I agree with you. 100%. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. It's sort of evolution. It's an evolution. Okay, everything evolves, and as a person gets older and there's less strength, and obviously that's the way we're meant to develop. Hashem wants us to develop that way. And we'll see this, I'll tell you, just one second. We see this because what is the value of an old person? A person says, stuck in a wheelchair, he's old, can't move. How's he serving God? It's purely in the mind. It's purely the highest level of service in the mind. Person can't move, don't think he can't serve God. He can serve God totally in his mind. He can do teshuvah in his mind. He can think about God in his mind. So there's a value in the mind which is much higher than the other parts.
Some men are very sensitive.
My yes. 100%. Yes. Yes, so I'm just generalizing. I'm just generalizing.
Sensitivity is
emotion. Emotion. Yeah, sure. So we're just generalizing. Yeah, I know, I see. And then the last level, the fourth level is speech. Mm. And that's malchut. So malchut is speech. Malchut is the king.
Let's say the man
or the queen
is older, going back to that thought. And he has Alzheimer's, his mind is not right. He can't serve at that point, sir.
You're right.
So that
one. But don't forget, even with Alzheimer's, there's certain things they do remember. They don't remember the present, but they remember the past. My mother knows exactly who her father was and her mother was. She knows God. She remembers God. Mm. If you knew God when you were young,
you know God.
It's amazing. Alzheimer's even, they know the past. If God was part of your life when you were a kid, God's part of your life when you're old. It's amazing. Because you remember the past. She doesn't know who I am, but she knows who her father was. Say, what's your father's name? Tell me. What's your mother's name? Comes out very fast. But it's got to be part of our lives from the beginning. So anyway, let's recap. And this is very important when it comes to tefillah. Because we said the highest level of tefillah is your desire behind it. What is your motivation behind it? What are you trying to achieve behind it? The purpose of tefillah is to get close to Hashem. We're going to talk about that. So a person has a motive. I want to get close to Hashem through my tefillah. Usually, we go to Hashem because we need something. But that's also good. But we're going to talk about it. Because Hashem sends us those needs to get us closer to Him. Hashem sends us the needs we're going to talk about.
But isn't it also, it's great to ask Hashem, I need this, I need that.
100%.
But also, it's also great once you get it, it's also to say, hey, Hashem, thank you. That's really cool that you sent me that.
100%.
To acknowledge, you know, it's like a give and take, isn't it?
Well, we said there's three parts of the prayers. The Shmoneh Esrei is the sandwich. Oh, yeah. The first three blessings are praise.
Right.
Praising God. The middle blessings are all asking. And the last three are thanks. So it's a mixture. You can't just go and say, please, 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 please. Who am I talking to? Introduce Hashem. Talk about Hashem. Praise Hashem. Right. He's the one who can answer my prayers. And then I pray. And now I have to thank Him for what He's done for me. I can't.
But before when you were talking, when we had our first class, you mentioned that you have to do it in a clinical setting. We do the didactic, the academics of reading the Hebrew, reading the prayers, and so forth and so on. But yet, to put it into practice, that's what, okay, I'm Hashem, I need this. I want this.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. But there's behind that is the thoughts.
Right.
So malchut is the speech. Mm-hmm. That's the didactic. That's the mechanical. The speech is the malchut. That's olam ha'asiyah. That's the world of. That's why you have to talk. You have to say it. You have to move your lips. It's a world of action. We're in the world of action. But the higher levels are purely the mind. Right? The emotions are in the. So a person prays with emotion. It's not the same as praying like a dry prayer. Right? A person prays with emotion plus his thoughts, kavanah. And then above that is the motivation to get close to Hashem. That's hit the jackpot. Hit the jackpot. So by combining desire, thought, and emotion with speech, prayer can change all the worlds. You can change all the worlds right now. Why? Because it gets to the highest levels. It can change all the worlds above. So the soul's longing to attach on high is Atzilut, the highest world. But longing and yearning is not enough. To draw down that unity of God into the world, Bria, you need thoughts. And Yetzirah, you need emotion. And this world, you need action. So you have four worlds. Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. Atzilut is purely motivation. That's how you link with Atzilut. Bria is through one's thoughts, what a person's thinking about. That's why we can do tremendous damage. A person has bad thoughts, they can do tremendous damage in the world above. It's so hard to control the thoughts. And the emotions is Olam Yetzirah, which is the world of the angels. Can you imagine, the angels are very in tune with emotions. Angels, they're pure emotion. If you look at the prayers, Bekara Zeh, El Zeh Ve'amar, Kadosh, 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 you can imagine the emotion behind it. It's very emotional. Holy, holy, holy. It's a very emotional thing. So by vocalizing the desire, the thoughts, and the emotion, you're creating a vessel. Okay? So a person needs to create the vessel plus fill the vessel. That's what we're doing. Every time you do a mitzvah, the action is the vessel. How do you fill the vessel? The speech is the vessel. What do you fill the vessel with? You fill it with your emotions. You fill it with your thoughts, and you fill it with your desire. So that's why L'Shem Yichud became such a popular thing. L'Shem Yichud is telling God, these are my intentions. My highest intention is to unify your name, L'Shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shem, with fear and trembling. That's the motivation. And then that's the emotional as well. The fear and trembling is the emotional. So the thoughts, the fear, the desire, everything is there in L'Shem Yichud. The trouble is, the Nor Dabi Yudah says, there's no use writing down Hashem Yichud and saying Hashem Yichud, because eventually it becomes like a rote. It's very important we think. So sometimes we substitute our speech for thoughts. A person may say all the prayers, but never had a single thought inside the prayer. It's so hard to think in terms of prayers. It's so hard to focus. But that's the spiritual aspect of tefillah. There's the physical aspect of tefillah. Did you come to the prayer? I came. Did you say the words? I said the words. Did you think about it? Not really. So you got the physical. It's a body is there, but you now you got to fill it with the soul. And the soul is the hardest part of it. It's very easy to go through the... Well, I don't know. For some people it's very easy because we're here. We're here, we're praying, we're trained. We're trained from a young age. You go to shul, you pray. But to put your mind into it, and put your thoughts into it, and put your emotions into it. And that's why the most spectacular prayer in history probably was prayer of Hannah. That's the prayer we mentioned on Rosh Hashanah. The most spectacular prayer in history was one woman with Hannah. She won the jackpot. She won. We're going to talk about her. It's a Gemara in Brachot. We model our prayers after Hannah. It's amazing. She knew how to pray. I don't know who taught her. It like it same came to her instinctively. It seems like, who was her teacher? Where did she get it from? Doesn't say. Don't say that pain. Don't say the pain word. We're coming to it. Why do the righteous suffer?
Because the bad helps to have.
Yeah, unfortunately. And we're going to talk about that because we're going to do a bit of Nefesh HaChaim. He talks about that aspect. So
well, that's the bracha pain, because then once you have and you live, then you can keep it hopeful.
Hopefully.
It's hard.
It's very hard. But then the thanks. If you have the pain, now you don't have the pain anymore. A person should be thanking. So it's very hard. But that's the power of pain, as you said. It's the power of pain. And that's why we're going to talk about that. So let's just recap. What do we say? We said four things. Desire is Ratzon. Ratzon is the highest level of Keter. So that's behind everything a person does. There's something, there's a motivation. That motivation is called Keter. That's a motivation called desire. That's a Keter. The second level is thought, which is Chachmah. Person thinks rationally, intellectually, but where are the thoughts coming from? They're coming from the subconscious, which is the desire behind the thought. And what is the thoughts also, below the thought is the emotion. Right? Because the thoughts create some kind of emotion. And then below that is the speech, the action. Okay, so we said, Keter is the Ratzon. Chokhmah is the thoughts. Bina is the emotion. And Malchut, or Asiya, is the speech, action. So we have to go up there, Atilut, and draw down energies. Send up energies and draw down energies. There's a two-way street. That's the ladder of Jacob, right? Angels going up the ladder, angels coming down the ladder. When you pray, you are triggering energies and sending up energies. in Kabbalistic terms, it's called man. You're sending up man. We use the man coming down. We're sending up man, and we get mud. Wait, don't take that literally. It's not English. It's Hebrew. It's a short. It's a short form of two words. Go ahead. Order what?
Thing going through those is that, therefore, something that a person should be mindful of, the order of them, the joint official. So
yes, that, yes.
That's the action stage, that's the first stage.
No. The first stage should be the motivation. Why are you going?
Yeah, what?
Why are you going? I'm going to pray to God. Why are you going to pray to God? Well, that's where the motivation is, the question. I'm going to pray because I need God. It's also good. But the person says, I want to connect. I want to get into God's sphere of influence. I want to connect with Hashem. I want to reconnect with Hashem. That's the highest level, obviously. So the motivation is number one. But most people don't even think about the motivation. It depends on what level you are. If you're from birth, you just do it like a robot. But maybe your father told you, your mother explained to you why you go to pray, and therefore you know, or your, some rabbi, smart rabbi, told you why to pray. Most people don't even know why you're praying. Usually most people think, I need something. So, like the genie of the magic lamp. Most people think of God as a genie of the magic lamp. So what happens if the genie of the magic lamp doesn't answer you? Throw away the lamp. But that's not the value. The value of prayer is to connect. Whether you're answered or not, the answer is yes or no, connect. That's the key. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of prayer is to connect to Hashem. So that's the motivation.
But using that example, you keep trying.
You keep trying. Yeah.
I wasn't here, so I apologize. So if you're repeating me, don't. But when you said L'shem Yichud, so the Yichud is the action itself.
No, L'shem Yichud is in order to create the Yichud. You're doing the mitzvah to create a Yichud above. Because Amalek came along and he smashed everything all the way up. He created some kind of disunity all the way up. So we are trying to recreate that unity. Tikkun Olam, that's Tikkun Olam, really. Think about Tikkun Olam as down here, but it's Tikkun Olam, it goes all the way up. It's tremendous, Tikkun Olam.
But in a way to do that, we have to bring our own unity.
Well, we have to unify all these four things. These four things. When you unify all these four things, you're creating unity in all four worlds. Because each thing has representation of one world. So thoughts in the highest level. That's Atzilut. The Ratzon, the will is in Atzilut. The thoughts are in Chokhmah and Bria, Olam Bria, and the emotion is in Olam Yitzira, and the action is in Olam Asiya, this world. So by vocalizing, you create the vessel. By using all the other aspects, you're filling the vessel with content. So we said before, a word is teva. What is a teva? A box. The emotions you use fill up that word with meaning. Right? Your emotions fill up the word. You're transmitting now, the box is transmitting something. Your thoughts fill up the word. Your thoughts are also being transmitted. And your ratzon is also filling up the word. And therefore you're transmitting ratzon as well. So by combining these four things, we can have the power to change all the worlds. Amazing, amazing power. A person tries to focus a little bit of meditation. Think back. What is your main motivation in this world? What is your main motivation? It's very hard, and it's good to write it down and have it before you all the time, because we forget our own motivation. We get carried away by things we see around us, and we get motivated by the wrong things. What is your main motivation? What is your main goal in life? What are you trying to achieve? Most people just say dollars, a retirement, happiness, right? But what should a Jew be thinking about in terms of main motivation? And that's the question. So the answer is we should be thinking about getting closer to Hashem, doing Ratzon Hashem. And that's why we synchronize our Ratzon with his Ratzon, right? Yule Ratzon Refi. May my Ratzon synchronize with your Ratzon Hashem, right? And this way, he'll do your will like his will. If you do his will like your will, he'll do your will like his will, which is synchronizing both wills. That's the highest level. Okay.
So then everything follows suit after that.
Yep. Then you're praying for his will, and he says, you pray for my will. Of course, you're on the winning side. My will and your will are synchronized. You're on the winning side. So we can change worlds with our prayers. Clear enunciation. When a person moves their lips and says the words, the brain hears its thoughts. It's a cycle. So you're talking to your brain. Your brain is thinking the same thing and emotions. So your words trigger. Sometimes your concentration is not there. By saying the words, It brings your mind to focus on what you're saying. So it's a cycle. So you think, you talk, and the talk makes you think more, hopefully. That's where we get stuck. We think and we talk, and then we stop right there. But that talk, that speech, now, what are you saying? What are you focusing on? Okay, now we come to a very interesting Kabbalistic idea, the word kol. Very strange word. Kol, we said, so we talked about this yesterday, right? Gematria of kol is 136. Kol, tzom, mamon, and sulam. Kol, tzom, mamon, sulam, and matzah with the kolel. 136, all 136. So kol is voice. The voice has the power to get you from the depths to the heights. How do you know? Because the first letter is a kuf. The kuf, by the way, is the longest line going down of all the letters. Yeah. The kuf has a leg. That leg goes down more than any other letter. How do you know? Because the laws of writing a mezuzah, you got to make sure there's space under the last line of the mezuzah for the leg of the kuf. And a little bit of gvil around it. And the highest letter is lamed. Kuf, vav, lamed. Kuf is the lowest letter. Goes all the way down. The vav is medium. It's right in the line. And the lamed goes all the way up. And that's the halakha and the law of mezuzah. You got to leave space on the top line, above the top line, for the lamed, the top of the lamed to go up. So when you're saying kol, you're going from the lowest to the highest. Your kol, your voice, has the power to reach the lowest to highest. Very wide range. So it's not just opera, right? You see? It's not just opera. It's spiritual opera. How you say the words reflecting the content and awareness is therefore very important. Because your call can raise yourself to the highest heights. So the words spoken with the emotional intent affect the neurological system, affect one's heartbeat, affects one's respiration, affects one's brain waves. And that's how people can also affect us. Right? You're a doctor, you gotta know how you speak to someone. It's like you can affect them. Had a case in my shul, tragic case. Holocaust survivor, very tough guy. He's the first guy in the minyan every single day. Alava Shalom, Mr. Kaufman, Alava Shalom, Tzadik. Big Tzadik. One day he never showed up. So I called him up, what's going on? Come over, Rabbi, come on. Go over. He said, I just got bad news. I went to the doctor, he says, I have terminal cancer, there's no hope. I got a few weeks to live, that's it. But I don't understand, yesterday you were hale and hearty, you're walking to shul. The doctor killed him. He killed him. I say he killed him, it wasn't you. Hasvashon. I'm just saying, it's a way how you say something can knock a person out. And which is what? Emotionally knock him out. Intellectually knock him out. Knock out his morale. And that's a person. We live on morale. We live on ego. We live on our system that believe we can do it. We can conquer. We can achieve. But a person says, you know, you're finished. You're dead. You're gone. And that's how we kill our children sometimes. You're useless. You're this. You're idiot. You're a fool. You ruin them. So the words we say can reach to the heights. That's kuf, vav, lamed. But they can also go backwards, unfortunately. A person can lower someone with the voice, and a person can raise someone up with the voice. So therefore, so a good doctor should have told him, a good doctor would have said, listen, you have a little problem, we'll see what you can do, and we'll try to give you the drugs, and we'll try to help you. No! You're going to die in a few, it's all the way how you say it. So okay, now you have to be, today you have to tell the truth as it is, but the question is how you say it. Do you give a person a little bit of hope? The worst thing is to give someone hope and then dash it again. It's like flip-flop, boy. So how you say the words is very important. And the emotions behind it also important. And that's why it's important to believe in Ki El Rofe Ne'emanata. There's only one healer. He's the boss. He's the boss. But there's Rosh Hashem. So now the question is now, what do you think when you pray? So obviously you're meant to think. The pshat is you're meant to think the meaning of the words. You're meant to think. Baruch Atah Hashem. You are the source of all blessing Hashem. Elokei Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Right? Elokei Abraham, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu. Our God. Which means he's my God as well. That's number one. First thing is, he's my God. He's a personal God. God is a personal God. Every one of us, all of us are part of God. All of us are in God's world. God cares about us. So, what does someone think about? So, obviously, the answer is the meaning of the words. But also, but the idea behind it is to connect to Hashem as a personal God. Hashem is interested in you. He hears your every word, thought, and emotion. That's the scary part. He's not just hearing what you're saying. He's looking inside your head and hearing every thought and every emotion behind your prayer.
So what happens?
He's hearing an orchestra. You hear the monologue, and he's hearing the orchestra. What is the orchestra? Four parts of the orchestra.
Yeah.
He's hearing your voice. But he's seeing behind the voice is the emotion, and behind the emotion is the thoughts, and behind the thoughts is the will. Imagine he is. He's hearing the whole orchestra. And people who are sensitive can hear the whole orchestra as well. That's why it's very dangerous when you speak to someone who's very sensitive, because they're not just hearing what you're saying, they're hearing behind that.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy who used to give us classes, his Dr. Foreman. Have you heard of Professor Foreman? He was a professor at YU's college, Azrieli College for Education. Old man. He was one of my mentors when I was teaching in school. So he's teaching us how to start a school. I mean, I never started a school before, so he was my mentor. They sent me a mentor, so... So we had a problem with the teacher, and we interviewed the teacher. So it was me and him, interviewed the teacher now. So she said so and so and so and so and so. So, okay. So he asked me, what did she say? I said, this is what she said. He said, that's what she said. What does she really mean? What is she really communicating? What do you read between the lines? What do you hear in her voice? What is she trying to tell you? So that's a good listener. A good listener is not just hearing the words, they're hearing what's really going on behind the words. Mm. It's like a famous story of the Brisker Rav, right? The guy goes to him before Pesach, he says, Rabbi, can you make a bracha on, can I drink four cups of milk instead of wine? The rabbi says, told his wife, he goes, give him five gold coins. She said, what? He just asked a simple question, can he drink milk or not? For four? He said, you don't understand. If he wants to drink milk for his four cups, that means he doesn't have any meat in the house. He doesn't have any food to eat. Give him food. So she just heard the holla. It's very hard to be a rabbi, because you've got to just not listen to the question. You've got to know what's... It's very hard. It's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard. It's very hard. To be a psychologist is even harder. But I know.
You also can't heal everybody.
Yeah, just sometimes just by listening. And that's the trick of psychology. It's basically all about listening. How you listen. The empathy and the confidence you show. That's like a good parent. You empathize with the kid. Look, kid's screaming. What do you do with him? Well, the best thing to do is divert his attention. That's number one. That doesn't work. No, that's not today's day and age. Okay. Okay. So number one. That's number one. Okay. So empathy. Empathize. You listen. You know. Yeah. You had a question, Penny? No? Yes, Scott.
So you're going through the motions. You're saying the words, and then the Etzer Torah has kicked in, and your mind is somewhere completely else, thinking. Whatever you're thinking, you're not thinking.
100%. Happens to all of us. Happens to all of us.
So is the prayer getting canceled out? Are the words getting canceled?
No, the words aren't getting canceled. You're saying the words. The vessel is there. You got to put the thoughts in it. How do you put the thoughts back into the prayer when the prayer's ended? So Arizal says an amazing thing. He says there are 10 days of repentance, right? The first 2 days are Rosh Hashanah, and the last day is Yom Kippur. So how many days do you really have?
Seven.
He says, those 7 days of the week, the prayers of those 7 days can fix all your prayers in the previous year. Oh. Of those 7 days. So say a Monday, I'm fixing all my prayers on all the previous Mondays. But the trouble is, even focusing on those 7 days, we're human beings. Hashem takes that into account. Hashem says, listen, I know your intentions. But he says, listen, Hashem, you know my intentions are there. I just can't physically cope. I can't. And it's such a yetzerah, it's such a terrible thing. Because what happens is, a person has worries, but they don't realize they're talking to the person who can solve all their worries.
Yeah.
You're talking to a God who can solve all your problems, so why are you thinking about your worries when you should be praying? But that's human nature. That's human nature. We're worried and we're praying. Makes sense. Prayer is the vehicle to transfer all your worries.
Wasn't there a rabbi that said prayers are too long, that it's hard enough to focus on one paragraph?
Well, the Shulchan Aruch says, He says it's better to say a lot of less pleading with concentration than more pleading with less concentration. So in other words, there's a section of the tefillah, especially Mondays and Thursdays, called Tachanunim. We add a whole bunch of prayers. He says over there, it's better to pray less with concentration than pray a lot more with... So I was going to know, but here we have leeway over here. It's amazing. Shulchan gives you leeway over here. Gives leeway. It's better to take one paragraph and focus. And, but in the Shmoneh Esrei, there's no leeway. That's the problem. So obviously they said quantity is better than quality. Today we don't have quality. What we don't have today in quality, the rabbis made up in quantity. Why? It keeps you out of mischief. You know, a famous story says the Chafetz Chaim once gave a class. He gave a talk about Lashon Hara. So he's talking and talking for an hour. He goes home. His wife says, "No, were you successful?" He said, "Well, at least no one spoke Lashon Hara for an hour." That's success. So that's success. The tefillah keeps you out of mischief, keeps you in shul. If you're not chatting with someone else next to you about some garbage, you're out of mischief. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Because then when you count the hours of your life, and you'll work out, you know, I spent 1/8 of my life praying. That's a big number of my wake time. Not you, Spencer. We can't count your wake time. So it's 1/8 of my life praying. Think about it. I was in the shul praying. Shachar is 1 hour. Mincha over here and Arvid is like 3/4 of an hour. That's 1 3/4 hours of 8 hours a day. How long is that? That's fantastic. Well, daylight hours. So 1 1/4 hours. It's nearly 1/8 of your day. 1/8 of your day, I'm praying. So God, what do you want from me? 1/8 of my day, I'm praying. Hashem, it's you. Yeah, but look at your covenant. But what do you think I went through the motions for? Because I love you, Hashem. I wanted to, but just coming out, I'm a human being. You got to take that into account. You created me. You know my flaws and my... Anyway, Hashem is interested.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hashem is interested.
So when you're praying, you're having this direct line with God. You say, look, take this into... Hashem, you're taking this into account?
Yes, he does everything. He does.
But doesn't he know that automatically?
Of course. He takes everything into account. Hashem is...
So there are like certain things that you don't have to share with him.
He's bigger blue than bigger blue. Hashem is bigger blue than big blue. And that's why blue is such a big color, right? It's amazing how they choose that big blue. Like big blue is the sky, and the sky hints to the Kisei HaKavod, big blue.
But you're giving Hashem human attributes.
Yes. You're right, 100%. Hashem does not have human attributes, but Moshe Rabbeinu gave him human attributes. He gave him 13 attributes, which we say in our prayers every day. And that's the closest we can get to them. We're not allowed to add attributes. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, that's what we have. And those attributes are the gateway to Hashem. Whatever that means. They're the gateway of Hashem. Because they're the gateway to us to understand Hashem. To allow your heart to speak. Because prayer without the heart, without the emotion, is missing something. The language of the heart, you know, sometimes the best prayer is just screaming in your head. Even without moving your lips. Because then you're reaching the highest wills. Close your eyes. Hashem, please give me this. Please, repeat it. Just scream away in your head. To try and reach the highest wills. Only trouble is missing all the lower wills. You're reaching the highest world. Let's make a big impact high up there. So that's a meditative prayer. Just praying in your head. Screaming. Like you can be sitting in New Jersey Transit. Today, no one cares any what you say. But you've been screaming in your head and no one's hearing you. It's amazing. You're talking to God in your head. Screaming. But truth is, you don't even have to scream. Because God can hear your brains without screaming in your head. He said, turn down the volume. I hear you loud and clear. The core of the heart is simplicity and truth. The straightforward innocence of a child. With no concern for the past or the future. This is a state of prayer. That's what a person should be thinking. Not the past, not the future. Right now, I'm in front of Hashem. Right now, the simplicity of a child. Oblivious to everything except for Hashem. And that's why when the Torah talks about loving and serving Hashem with your heart, the rabbis say that's your prayer. Prayer is the service of the heart. It's what's going on in your head. Your emotional state, your thoughts, your will. That's the service of the heart. Allow your heart to speak. The language of the heart combines the brain's comprehension with the heart's sensitivity. It reaches higher than the intellect to a place only the heart can see and feel. Yes, but I'm going to skip now to Nefesh HaChaim over here. Rav Chaim Volozhin. We did this, so I want to do it again because I've forgotten it already. So this is in chapter in Shar Bet, in the second gate, chapter 10. He has a little section about tefillah. God yearns for the prayers of tzaddikim. Exactly your point. This concept is expressed in Yebamot 64b. The Holy One, blessed be He, yearns for the prayers of the righteous. And that's a famous midrash. Why were the matriarchs barren? Except for Leah. Because Leah said her prayers for some other reason. She had to want to get away from Esav. He yearns for the prayers of the righteous, as the midrash says. Why were the matriarchs incapable of bearing children? Hashem longed for their prayers. So why do the righteous suffer? Always troubles. Hashem longs for the prayers. You know how many great rabbis were childless? Think of Rebbe, childless. Rav Wasserman. Which was his first name? Huh? But the Rav Wasserman. Rav Elchanan's son, what was his name? He was a big rabbi in Los Angeles, started yeshiva in Israel. Or Elchanan. Simcha Wasserman. Childless. Like, why? These great tzaddikim, childless. And the answer is because what is it? It opens the heart to prayer. Just. Yes, yes, also. But you can be parent to Klal Yisrael and count your child as one of them. So Zohar says, Yitzhak lived with his wife for 20 years without having children. Hashem wanted his 20 years of prayer. Hashem delights in the prayers of the tzaddikim. He therefore withheld from them their needs until they offer their supplications. Why? Why trouble the poor fellow to pray? In order there be abundance of kedusha for whoever is in need. Zohar says. In other words, when a tzaddik prays, it's not just him being answered, it's everyone who is in that similar situation is going to be answered. Like he opens the gates for others. Just the kedusha of his prayer takes up all the other prayers with him. And Mishlei, chapter 15, verse 8, the prayer of the upright pleases Hashem. For this reason, the sages describe prayer as things that stand at the pinnacle of the world, implying that it is individual words of prayer that rise to the highest heavens. In other words, if you really want to pray, it just goes up. If you're praying with your heart, because sometimes there's no other choice. There's nothing else you can do. Doctors say this, or this, or that. It's like a gezerah. You got to break it. And the only way to break it, sorry, just bang your head on the wall and pray. Pray hard. The truth is we should be praying all the time for Israel. Because we're surrounded by very bad neighbors, and then you got Russia over there, and you got Iran, and it's like right now on our doorstep. We should be praying every time right now, before anything happens. The time to pray is before, not after. It's much harder after. So now's the time to pray. People don't realize that prayer splits the heavens, opens the gates, and rises on high. Where do we see this? Rashi says it on Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, I took Shechem, becharbi bekashti. I conquered Shechem. With my sword and my bow. Well, he didn't do anything. His two sons did everything. He did. They caused a lot of havoc. Where's his sword? Where's his bow? Rashi says, with his prayers. His prayers were like swords. We say, v'cher pepio b'yadam. The sword of mouths. The double-edged sword in the hands. Double-edged sword, that's our mouths. Prayer. Prayer can break through the heavens. Prayer can break through the heavens. Listen, I've seen... There's a rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Batsri. Have you ever seen Rabbi Batsri? I've seen him pray. Never seen anything like my life. The guy keeps on going. Just the minions exhausted. They're all exhausted. They leave him. And he's still praying. And he has a lot of things to pray before because he gets a lot of donations. People ask him to pray. So he has a whole binder of names. But he's praying with Kavanot as well. So his mincha, I don't know how long it takes, 2 hours at least. So when he finishes, there's no one around. He has to call the boys, come back! Start Chazarat Hashatz. He's the Chazar. But you never seen a person pray with a Kavanah like that. But that's prayer. That's a power of prayer. The primary purpose of prayer is to increase the presence of holiness in the world. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin. Just like a soldier sets aside his personal needs and concerns and willingly gives his life for the honor of the king and country, So should an upright Jew forget his private trials and troubles and concentrate on his prayers on enhancing the strength of the higher holy worlds, on drawing down blessings and divine light to the worlds, and use the troubles as a springboard to pray for everyone. And on defeating the state of impurity, we know you have this bracha, laminim majdim al titiva. The minim and the malshinim should not have any hope. What are we really talking about? We're talking about the forces of evil in the world. V'chol oivecha, v'chol sonecha. All your enemy and your haters. Who's your haters and the enemy? The malach ha-mavet and his cohorts. We're praying to God to destroy evil in the world, so that we can have unity and purity in the world. And that's really the theme also of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. We pray for the recognition of God's majesty by all mankind. So by praying, you're bringing Kedusha into the world. We just don't see it. When you pray to God, you're bringing holiness into the world. Because you're praying, what are you praying for? You're praying for God to manifest himself in the world, and that's holiness. This is a very deep idea, very deep concept. And Rav Chaim Volozhin over here is very, very deep. It's very high level. This is something you want to look it up. I'm not going to even talk about it. You should look it up. Because what he's saying is, basically, is when you pray for your personal needs, think about Hashem as well. Because your father is in pain when you're in pain. It's hard to imagine, right? I'm in pain. Hashem's in pain because I'm in pain. So Hashem, if I'm in pain, you're in pain, so cure my problems. Why do we need to be in pain? You cure the problems. Okay, I'm waiting for you to ask. I don't want you to be in pain. I don't want me to be in pain. So you could. But sometimes, you have to go through it. Because that's how you fix the vessel. The body's in pain, you have to cure it.
And if we don't bring the
future, we're leaving emptiness. No, we leave evil.
No,
we leave evil. There's no thing as vacuum. There's no vacuum in spirituality. There's no vacuum.
So it really is
100%. It's Or B'choshech. So you're praying. Can you imagine? We have a little minion over here. We don't understand how much light we're bringing to the world. We just don't understand it. Can't understand it. We don't see the effects. You can just...
But if we don't understand it, are we bringing the Or?
Yes. It happens whether you understand or not. Most people don't know what they're doing when they pray. Most people don't know what they're doing when they do mitzvah. It's automatic. I asked my rabbi in Israel, the Mekubal. I said, listen, most people don't know Kavanah. But they pray anyway, right? What happens? Are they triggering the same things as the person who... Yeah, sure. It's automatic. There's autopilot. If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. Hashem fixes it. But a person knows, and he's got more responsibilities. More responsibilities. That's the usual case. The more you know, the more responsibilities you have. But some people are looking for responsibilities. I want to be your partner, Hashem. I don't want to be your servant. I want to be your partner. It is. It's scary, but it's very worthwhile. Because a partner, you get paid much more. You get partnership pay. Like in a law firm, right? You're a partner in the law firm, you get a commission, right? You get achuzim, you get. So it pays to be a part of Hashem in the world. The truth is, we're all partners of Hashem in the world. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're a partner. You're bringing down holiness into the world. You teach someone Torah, you bring holiness into the world, you're part of Hashem in the world. You bring a child into the world, you're a part of Hashem in the world. Right? It says three people don't see Paneah Shekhinah. They don't see it. One of them is a person who never was involved in Priya Rivia. Never had children. It's a horrible thing. I wish people realized how bad it is not to do anything. You know, just have children, right? Just in a kosher way. But, so let's just recap. What did we say today? What did we talk about tonight? We talked about unifying these four things. What are the four things? Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, and Malchut. Keter, we said, is motivation. Ratzon. Chokhmah, we said, are the thoughts. Bina are the emotions. And Malchut is the speech, actions. So you can try and unify all four. Because with all four now, you're acting in all four worlds. Not just in one world. You're just saying the words without thinking. Imagine, you're acting. You're still acting on Asiya. Love Asiya is being changed by your words. You put a little bit of emotion in it, you're changing the Yetzirah as well. You put a little bit of thought in there, you're changing the Bria. You put the intention behind it, the Atzilut. So, working upwards. You work upwards or you work downwards. Ideally, a person before they pray should have the intentions. That's why Leshem Yichud is right at the beginning. Right? It's right at the beginning, because then you're purifying your motives. What are your motives for doing this mitzvah? Hashem Yehud Kucha Berchu Shantev Yeruchim. This is my motive. You're already putting your mission statement. You know, when I made this school, Ben Parad Yosef, the board was very big on mission statements. And every classroom had a mission statement. Imagine, you stick the mission statement on every... So the teacher's meant to look at the mission statement before they go into the class and think, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to teach Torah. I'm trying to teach Avat Yisrael. I'm trying to teach love of Israel, love of Eretz Israel. These are the mission statements of the school. The trouble is, after you go through the classroom many times, you don't see it anymore. You're blind to it. And the same thing applies to serving Hashem. The more you do it, the harder it becomes. Why? It becomes like rote, and you lose that spark. And the hard part is not to lose the spark. That's why we have to reinvent ourselves all the time. We have to rejuvenate ourselves every time. Okay, we'll stop here. Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue next week. This is a very powerful thing, very powerful stuff.